Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're cutting through the noise to tackle a really disruptive phenomenon in organizations.
It's something that costs millions, stalls innovation. We see it a lot in education, in admin sectors.
We're talking about the chaos that gets unleashed by something called comfort zone technology, or CZT for short.
Right. And our mission today is to dig into the sources you've shared, which really lay out how new leaders, you know, a new department head, a new principal, can just inadvertently grind an organization to a halt.
And they do it by insisting that everyone, the entire staff, switch to the specific software they used at their last job.
Usually a very respected, you know, a very high-performing former employer, which gives it that extra weight.
So let's define this thing, the CZT. It's not just like a preference for Excel over Google Sheets, right?
Yeah, no, it's much deeper. It's the specific application, the protocol, sometimes the entire enterprise system that a new leader learned their craft on.
So it feels comfortable. It feels reliable to them because they've already mastered it. But critically, it's not available where they are now.
And the immediate danger, which the sources highlight right away, is the speed. This isn't some measured six-month evaluation.
Right.
Leaders often start trying to move their own work over to this new CZT almost immediately, sometimes before they've even had a real conversation with IT about, you know, feasibility or cost.
It's like a sprint back to what's familiar.
Absolutely. The sources say it can happen in a couple of ways. Sometimes it's covert. The leader kind of subtly delays critical projects. They'll tell their new team, oh, we'll just wait until we get the system I used at my old school.
Or it's overt.
Overtly demanding, yeah. An immediate order for a new software placed before anyone's been consulted just because they need that comfort blanket to feel competent again in a new role.
Okay, let's unpack that feeling, that idea of competence.
Yeah.
Because that really gets to the psychology of it all. If you're a high caliber leader, why wouldn't you just adapt?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
I mean, the existing system probably does the exact same thing. Why insist on the old program right out of the gate?
It plugs directly into how we as people adopt and really trust technology. The sources draw a very clear line to something called the technology acceptance model.
Explain how that applies here.
Well, at its core, the model says we use tech based on two things: how useful we think it is and how easy we think it is to use.
Okay.
So for a new leader walking into a strange office, the existing software they've never seen before, it scores low on both. They have to relearn everything. It's hard. It slows them down.
But the CZT they used at their old high-performing job,
that's an automatic 10 out of 10 on both usefulness and ease of use. They know for a fact they can perform at a high level with that tool in their hands.
So it's less about the software being objectively better for the new organization.
And everything to do with the leader's own successful history with it. It's basically a personal coping mechanism that's being disguised as an organizational improvement.
And this is where the social dynamic gets tricky.
Oh, it's fascinating. The leader is anxious, they're seeking comfort, but their new team, they're probably perfectly fine, maybe even experts with the current system. Now they're being told to switch, learn something new, interrupt their whole workflow.
All to soothe the new boss's anxiety. And it must be incredibly hard to push back on that internally.
Who's going to argue with the person who just hired them? The new boss frames the CZT as something that will, you know, improve everyone's work lives. So you end up with the situation where the anxious leader gets exactly what they want.
Their comfort zone.
And there's almost no internal resistance. It just leaves the IT department to deal with the fallout.
Which brings us to the practical side of this, because the actual technology they're asking for can be wildly different depending on the size of the organizations. We have to talk about software grades.
Yes, let's do it. Because when a leader moves from, say, a huge university to a small college or vice versa, that difference in technology grade is the hidden cost driver. It's everything.
The sources break it down into three grades.
Right. Three grades. And if you don't get the difference, you just can't see the real cost of CZT. First, you have what they call consumer grade software.
Okay, so what's that?
Think of something you install on one computer, like professional video editing software, maybe some specialized academic analysis tool. It's individual. It works with local files.
Got it. Siloed, personal use. What's next?
Next up is small business grade. This scales up to maybe a few hundred users. It's probably connected to some kind of network storage for sharing files so multiple people are in it, but it's still a relatively contained system.
And then there's the big one. The one that causes all the upheaval.
That's the enterprise grade. This is the absolute backbone of a major organization. It's designed for thousands of users, tons of simultaneous connections, and it has to talk to all the other complex systems, payroll, student records, you name it.
And the cost difference between these is where the rubber really meets the road, especially when a new leader brings an enterprise expectation to a small business budget.
Monumental. The sources warn that the cost jump is just. It's huge. It's like the difference between buying one commercial truck for a specific job and then deciding you're going to build an entire corporate fleet logistics center from scratch.
With maintenance bays and dispatchers and everything.
Exactly. You're not just buying a license, you're buying the whole infrastructure, the entire support ecosystem to run it.
I can just picture a new dean from a massive state university asking a small liberal arts college to buy an enterprise-level student information system, thinking it's just a simple upgrade.
And that's the danger. The sources point out that dropping that kind of system into a small school might eat up a massive chunk of their entire annual IT budget. You suddenly need dedicated servers. You need maintenance contracts that cost hundreds of thousands a year. You might even need staff certified just to manage that one system.
Which is a perfect segue into the hidden costs and the deployment roadblocks.
Yep.
Because that price tag is just the beginning of the pain.
It's just the starting gun. This isn't a quick cloud download, especially with enterprise systems. You have to think about the IT department, which is almost certainly already overworked.
Right.
Installing one of these huge systems is an enormous project. The sources say this isn't a weekend job. It can take months, sometimes even years of planning, implementation, and testing.
Years. So if a new leader gets their CZT pushed to the front of the line, what gets dropped? What's the opportunity cost?
Everything else, all the other projects that have been waiting for months, critical security upgrades, necessary hardware replacements, integrating systems you already have, all of that gets put on hold.
And that creates friction across the whole organization.
Huge frustration. And then it all grinds to a halt in the compatibility and testing phase. This is where the timeline just explodes.
Because you can't just assume the new system will play nice with the old ones.
Never. The CZT has to work with your existing network, your current operating systems, your computing capacity, and this is the big one, the database platforms you already use.
So if the new system uses some proprietary database, but all your other data is in SQL.
You've got a massive, massive integration project on your hands just to get them to talk to each other. And you have to test every single one of those interactions over and over again.
It's the loop.
That's the loop that extends the deployment time. You test it, you debug it, you test it again under load to make sure it doesn't crash something else that's mission critical. And if you finally get it working, you hit the training wall.
Ah, the training wall, where the technical debt becomes human debt.
Precisely. Now you have hundreds, maybe thousands of users who need training on this new thing. But the sources point to this recurring problem. The leader who championed the whole thing, they know how to use it.
But not how to teach it.
They don't have the expertise or just the sheer bandwidth to manage a trainingogram for an entire organization. So that huge burden making, the manuals, scheduling the sessions, the ongoing support, it all falls right back on the already taxed IT and HR departments.
So we've got the anxious leader, the strained IT team, the busted budget. If you're running an organization and this disruptive CZT request lands on your desk, what are the smart, practical responses?
This is where the sources get really useful. Section 4 lays out these fantastic negotiation strategies that tech leaders have developed. They're designed to make the person asking confront the full reality of what they want.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first one is simple, but really effective. Tell them to find the money.
That sounds a little aggressive.
Yeah.
But I get the logic. You're forcing them to look past the sticker price.
Exactly. You're asking, are you willing to pay for the annual maintenance, the new servers, the dedicated staff out of your own department's budget?
It makes them get financially literate about enterprise tech pretty fast.
It does. And when they see the true internal cost, not just the vendor's price, they often have second thoughts. Suddenly, the existing system doesn't look so bad.
I like the second strategy. It's very diplomatic. Show them the current IT project timeline and let them negotiate with their peers for a slot.
This is just brilliant management. It stops IT from being the department of no. It shifts the burden of allocating resources, in this case, time from IT to the department heads themselves.
So the CZT champion has to go to the head of finance and say, "Hey, I need to delay your security audit for 6 months so I can get my pet project installed.
It forces that internal accountability. It makes resource allocation a negotiation among peers, not something IT imposes on them.
And the third response is key for morale, I think.
Absolutely. Jump on the team and advocate for the requests that actually do make sense. If the CZT genuinely offers something critical that the current software can't do, then IT leadership has to get behind it.
It shows they're partners in innovation, not just gatekeepers.
Exactly. But beyond those tactics, the sources really stress the role of C-level leadership. The CEO, the superintendent, they're the ones who have to minimize the long-term damage from all this.
What's their job in all of this?
Three things. First, they have to have at least a baseline understanding of their organization's IT and data systems. They don't need to be able to code, but they need to know what their infrastructure can and can't do.
So they're not making decisions in a vacuum.
Right. Second, they have to make sure IT is collaborating, not just saying no to everything. The culture has to be one of partnership.
And the last one.
They have to be the ultimate decider. These conflicts between IT and department leaders can get really contentious. The CEO has to be the one to step in, understand all the ramifications, the costs, the redirected resources, everything, and make the final call, and then live with it.
That really sums up the whole challenge.
Yeah.
We started with this idea of comfort zone technology as a natural human preference for the familiar.
A need for competence when you're in a new role.
Exactly. But we've seen how when that personal preference gets scaled up to an enterprise-level request, it just metastasizes into this huge IT budget and organizational roadblock that can derail everything for years.
The disruption is profound. The sources give this really striking real-world example from education, the constant push to adopt new learning management systems, or LMSs.
The LMS is the digital core of a school, right, where all the assignments and grades live.
It's the whole digital campus. And the sources say new academic leaders are constantly advocating to switch the entire school's LMS to whatever version they used before.
That sounds like a monumental task.
It is. The author of One Piece mentioned that these projects are such a heavy lift, he realized a multi-year implementation would be just getting started right when he was planning to retire. He actually said he would have just resigned rather than take that on at the end of his career.
Wow. That tells you everything you need to know about the true cost of comfort. So since these huge decisions really rest on the C-level leadership's understanding and their willingness to weigh comfort against cost, we'll leave you with this to think about.
How deep is your organization's current understanding of its enterprise system capabilities?
And what is the true comprehensive cost of your own technological comfort?
Something worth a deep dive in your own office.
Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll see you next time.